from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
I want to apologize to anyone named Harold, because if you listen, and if you missed it, you can always listen to the podcast. I'm not going to tell you what that was about, but you can listen to the podcast and you can find out, well, what's up with the name Harold. But if you were around, and if your name's Harold, I apologize for using your name as an example of someone dating an AI person.
And you know who is full of wisdom? Our friend Ernie in Kent.
What'd he say?
Who said, you were pointing out correctly that there are some people who are very lonely, and maybe that's something that would help with that loneliness, and I need to look at it from a perspective other than my own.
Well, the next time that Sully's in here, you should ask him what he thinks about AI girlfriends.
Oh, hey, Sully's here, but we're going to talk about something else, but we'll throw that question
okay.
in, too.
Awesome. Okay. Let's get
What's
to it.
New at 10?
Hi, Chris Sullivan.
Oh, he's here.
I want to know about it. Yeah, forget whatever I'm talking about. Let's go AI girlfriends. This sounds interesting.
So that's going to be the next thing. Girlfriends who are robots.
Perfect.
And filling a role for the people who are on.
Yeah, well, they're already filling a role, but they're not girlfriends.
I know.
But I believe the word is sex bot.
That is correct, and we have done segments on that.
How many stories have you talked about that? But moving on, what are you coming in here for?
We're going to talk about $15 max tolls, which is nearly as sexy. Okay, so we thought this was going to happen, and sure enough, it is happening.
Yeah, almost every day. We're hitting the max of $15, kind of like we expected, both on 405 and on 167. And a lot more on 167 that I think I never really paid as much attention down to that because I didn't have a good way to kind of track it. And again, 167, you don't have the flex pass involved. And so it's kind of hard to keep track of who's actually using or not. But we are hitting the $15 max. And why that's kind of germane today is one of the most common spots for us to hit what was the $10 max and now the $15 max is on 405 coming out of Linwood every morning down through Bothell into the north end of Kirkland, into that neighborhood, because there are only three lanes total for that freeway, and that's just not enough capacity. So you go, you have one express toll lane and then two regular lanes. You get down to 522 and it opens wide out back to basically a five lane road with two in the express toll lanes and three general purpose. And so they've started construction now a little bit ahead of schedule to add a second lane between basically 522 up to Canyon Park, which I think will maybe help drive down that price because there will be more capacity.
Problem when is, will that be done?
What was that, bro?
Because it's not like they're building this tomorrow.
Yeah, because basically then
we'll have new ferries before this is supposed to think about that.
We'll keep hitting until this is done
in 2028.
Oh my god!
And the reason it's going to be 2028 is if anybody's familiar with that area, that is one of the most constrained and weird environmentally areas that they would have to deal with, because there's the Sammamish Slough that runs way underneath. And so the freeway is way elevated with these big pilings and things. So if they were to tear that whole thing down, they'd have to cut out a bunch of different parts of the hillside and redo. There'd be a bunch. So as it is, they're going to try to work around the existing pilings, and they do have to cut off part of, they're chopping down a bunch of trees out there, but it's not an easy place to do work. So it's going to take them some time. Plus, to widen out all the rest of the way up there, it's going to take some time to build up the roadway and the shoulder where there is to kind of extend the road.
So
it's not happening right away. But
so knowing that there isn't much of a choice, could they give drivers a break?
No, unfortunately, because again, remember the goal here is to price people out of that lane or those lanes so that transit or carpools get a better ride. And I would not be surprised if between now and 2028, when that lane opens, we won't see a toll increase again in those express toll lanes, because it's obviously pretty clear after just 1 month, $15 isn't keeping people out of those lanes either.
So what are they going to do, 20?
Who knows? I would say at some point they're probably going to have a come to yay, meeting and be like, yeah, this isn't doing the job, and what are we going to do about it? But again, that just happened a month ago, and it's not like they're going to raise it right away. But my gut tells me, in order to manage this properly, at some point they're probably going to have to raise it.
My gut tells me I'm hungry right now. Sully, let's have a real discussion about the $10 to $15 that everybody's seeing. What percentage of the people on the roads are paying that?
Again, I don't have a good number because they haven't crunched those yet. It's been 6 weeks, really, since they've done it.
Right.
I can only talk about basically the anecdotal I see when I see every day with the time it takes versus the time and the general purpose. And people are saving time in those lanes, but I don't have a hard number. And again, the average toll may probably end up being like $5.
So they are taking pictures of the license plates.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Certainly. Mm-hmm. Certainly. But of course, on that section, you have a flex pass where you could say your HOV and not be 3+. And the only way you'd get caught is if a state trooper saw you
right.
with the thing pressed the wrong way. And there's really no place to pull anybody over for that up there. So it's one of those things where they don't have it's like going over the turnstile or not for paying for sound transit. There's just no enforcement of that actual spot. And on 167, there's none.
None.
Because
none.
Right down there, they only use a sticker pass. You still haven't transitioned to the flex pass, which you're going to have to next year. But
all of this is going to, Ursula, all of this is going to get real when enforcement of this stuff happens. Like real enforcement where you can't get out of it. Because for an example, the 520, when you go over that, you can't get out of that.
No, it doesn't matter what lane you're in.
Yeah, you can't get out of that. You're paying. There is no flex. None of that. You're paying for that one. When that type of enforcement comes to the 167 and all that, oh, it's getting ready to get real, y'all. And it's going to be clear roads, and you are really going to figure out how to get on public transit.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, if that were the case, at some point they just said, listen, this is no longer a price congestion model. We're just going to go with a straight flat toll all the way across the board. I think they might need some legislation to do that legally out of Olympia, but that may be what it takes.
Chris,
in order to make that happen.
Can I ask you what might sound like a dumb question, but it's actually rooted in some seriousness? Do you think there's a possibility at some point they're going to introduce equity HOV lane passes for, let's say, people on the lower end of the economic spectrum who need to use those roads but can't rely on using the HOV lanes? Because we talk so much about equity in this state, yet there's this one area where we're completely okay making the lanes of traffic separated by economic class.
Well, we do that for
free
public
transit tickets.
We do that for transportation.
I know, but I'm sorry. Most people can't get around without a car.
Right, well, I know what you mean. So I'm not sure how you do that with the technology that we have unless they make different passes for each different car.
Yeah,
which
you just apply as a low-income Washingtonian.
And then maybe you get a pass that only when you go under, it hits 50%. I mean, I'm not sure how they would do that technically. I'm sure it can be done. But
just wait. It'll get proposed.
I like what 206 says, and I'm with them. Just get rid of all these different lanes and make everything general purpose lanes. I think traffic would flow a lot better.
Well, the way to do that is to go to what everybody really hates, but they haven't really studied it. Road usage charge, where you pay by mile.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know early on I was not a big fan of pay by mile because I was like, okay, I'm getting told on the road. But if it is implemented in the way it was designed and is designed, though it will probably never make it through the legislature as designed, where it will be revenue neutral in that it removes the gas tax and you pay exactly what you would pay per mile at the pump. Which you're paying right now, but you're just not getting charged for it. It's part of the gas tax. And if it's revenue neutral, the problem is you can't ever transition away for it to be revenue neutral because the gas tax isn't going away because we have bonded against it for all of our projects. So there's like a 15-year, 20-year period where we might be paying both. And you would have to find a way to get reimbursed so you're only getting, they don't get to double dip. But that seems to be the fairest way.
Pay for what you
drive.
Hold on. Let's go back to my Cairo Knights days. We discussed this. So wait.
I've changed. Yeah.
Wow.
I've come to really
admitted it.
Doing a lot of I've been researching this for 10 years now.
Oh, okay.
And it makes a lot of sense for us to pay for the miles that you use.
Yes.
Say, for instance, I own a truck, and it's a farm truck primarily, mm-hmm. and I'm driving 90% of the time on my own property, I'm still paying a gas tax for roads I'm not using, or I'm in an electric car. You know, I'm not paying for the roads right now because of I'm not being charged a gas tax. It's a way that everybody has to contribute. They get paid for, they get charged for what they use. If I'm driving in Oregon, I'm still paying the Washington gas tax right now, but maybe in a few years when I'm driving those miles in Oregon, that money will go to Oregon, the miles I drive. I mean, I'm willing to see, I see it for what it is with the nuances and how it's, again, as designed, I think it can work. But I just know that we'll never get rid of the gas tax.
On my phone right now, Tesla, it tracks all of my miles. It knows. And I think in order for you to get ready to get your tabs for the year, you have to pay that bill. Now, whether you want to break it up, I remember us talking about this. Whether you
want to, so you get a $10,000 charge, you know, or $500, whatever it is, when you do your tabs. That's a pretty big hit. Plus, you're playing the RTA for South Transit.
Maybe you do it monthly.
Right.
You break it down monthly. So instead of you paying $400-$500 a month for your gas, quote unquote, you're paying $400-$500 for your mile usage. And then the one person that says, well, wait a minute, I don't go on the roads. That's not fair for me. Well, you don't drive. Looks like you pay about $5 a month for your road usage.
I think
it's the fairest thing ever. And Sully, I'm glad you came around.
I still have great reservations, though, on how we're going to track that mileage and how that information, that data can be mined and used.
They're tracking cars.
But as of right now, this is not.
No, the legislature has been talking about this for 10 years, and they have not even once got it out of committee to even go further on this.
So in other words, if you're stressed out about it, don't worry about it.
It's not happening anytime soon. But I think now that I've really dived into it, my attitude on this has changed because I think it does make some sense.
Growth. Hey, you want to hear about a crazy idea? There's this safety campaign. It's working its way down from Vancouver, BC. Have you heard about this? This involves installing a couple of posts on each side of a crosswalk, kind of like they do with the yellow
flags at a crosswalk, right?
Exactly. But this is something else that pedestrians can carry across the road.
Ever feel unsafe crossing a crosswalk? Cars cutting off your right of way? That's why Vision Zero Vancouver is excited to introduce Bricks.
The idea was that you pick up a brick from the receptacle on one side, look both ways, wave the brick as you cross, and deposit the brick in the receptacle on the other side.
Okay, is this for real?
No, that was an April Fool's joke. That came out on April Fool's from the Transportation of Vision Zero of British Columbia in Vancouver.
Thank God.
It's an April Fool's joke. However, from what Chef was telling me, people in Seattle are thinking that was real. And where did the bricks show up? Where did they actually show up?
There's no, it doesn't list where, but on Reddit, there's a photo of where someone has installed one of these things with real bricks. It's gone viral. God. Like hundreds and hundreds of comments.
So you run by and if the person doesn't stop, you throw the brick at their windshield?
I will say, being in Vancouver, BC, recently, the way they do things, the way you have the X here, you can't drive this, and okay, now you have the green, and they can just switch traffic the way. I was thinking, the rules that they have up there, there's no way in the world that would happen in the United States. People would still try to drive down that lane.
Yeah, but the brick's universal, G. In Canada and people here know what to do with a brick. But yeah, this was a joke.
Okay, yeah.
But some people in Seattle thought it was real.
Okay.
This is not a good idea to wave bricks at people.
Before you brought that story up, did you not know?
I'm annoyed that we even had it in the rundown.
oh, so you didn't know it was a... Mm.
No.
What? Let's not give anybody ideas. Wait a minute. Y'all don't understand. Ursula about to be mad the rest of the day.
Well, no, I'm not mad at the rest of the day, but I would question as to why Chef put it in there.
Because it's kind of funny. I mean, what's the next thing that could happen?
You got to tell Ursula this beforehand.
Yes,
she is
exactly.
a news junkie,
a news
y'all.
Person. Yes, exactly.
I mean, Ursula, what's the worst that could happen?
Trust someone.
People could take over the expressway to the airport.
The meeting.
Yeah. But no one would ever take over the expressway to the airport. No.
That's ridiculous.
Why would anybody do that? Oh, wait a minute.
Sully.
Wait a minute. Sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah. Enjoy. I've always got such great news. Don't I?
Know.
I'm always
you
a
really
bearer
do.
Of good news.
You really are.
Yeah.
You're invited to the show any and every time.
So
appreciate you.
What are you doing the rest of the day, bro?
Going to the gym, then probably doing some laundry.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Getting ready. Tommy's spring games this weekend, so we're sneaking out to Motee to see what happens.
There you go.
I'm going to squeeze in one more story.
What do you got, Arson?
This one's a real one. Seattle Plastic Surgery Office illegally prevented thousands of patients from posting negative online reviews. So that is what a federal judge has ruled in the case of Allure Aesthetic and its owner, Dr. Javad Sajjan. State Attorney General Bob Ferguson filed suit against Allure back in 2022, accusing the company of forcing patients to sign non-disclosure agreements before they could even get any procedures done.
Allure used bribes, threats, and unlawful non-disclosure agreements, NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, to keep patients from posting negative reviews or to take those negative reviews down. It also systematically posted fake five-star reviews and heavily edited before and after photos to make results look better than they actually were. On top of its relentless efforts to silence honest reviews, Allure used fake email accounts for real patients to pocket thousands of dollars per month in skincare rebates that were supposed to go to the patients.
Okay, first of all, are you signing off on any of these things to get these procedures done? A trial in September is going to determine what Allure Aesthetics' penalty is going to be. This company has offices in Seattle, Linwood, and Kirkland.
Now, I don't know how this happened. I really don't. I don't claim to know. But there must have been some type of trick to happen. I can't not see women knowingly getting a procedure done and knowing the fact that they're signing away, I cannot give a review on this. I can't give a negative review. I just don't think that. So whatever method they use to do that is one thing. But I thought you was asking me something else. I thought you was about to ask me if I've ever had to sign an NDA. Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and ask that question.
Oh, I attended a party.
Oh, recently?
I don't know when it was. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know
because
when
you signed one. You can't even acknowledge
I don't know when that party was. But I'm just saying that I've signed one.
Okay. See, if I have to do that, I'm out. Goodbye.
So, I mean, how do you think this happened with this news story? Like, how do you think that they were able to get women to do this?
Are they offering big discounts?
No. Some of the women who spoke at a press conference said, like, hey, initial consultation, they give us a big stack of papers, go through, sign everything.
You're not reading the fine print.
I didn't understand what I was signing. Some people caught it.
Yeah.
And those are some of the people who flagged the attorney general.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just crazy.
Ursula, do you ever have get-togethers at your house where we got to sign an NDA?
No.
You come to Ursula Long Live Mark's house?
No.
Like, you got to sign an NDA right here. I might do that.
I just don't hang around with those kind of big-name people like you do.
The bigger the name, the more likely you are to sign one of those things. I just want to be on record to say I didn't say what type of big or small names. Sometimes small names have parties, too. All right, Ursula, I don't know what you want to talk about next, but there's something that happened in the world of TikTok. I need to ask you about that. And also, a TJ Maxx applicant is in disbelief about how much they make an hour. We'll tell you that next. Jen Ursula.
This hour of the G and Ursula Show is brought to you by Pello Windows and Doors.
Welcome back. to the G and Ursula Show. Happy Tuesday to all of you. Just a reminder that you are such an important part of our show every single day. Our Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line is where you can text us your feedback or weigh in on any of our topics. 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. So as I was scrolling on TikTok yesterday, I found out that one of the more popular TikTokers has passed away. Her name is Kyle Marissa Roth. She is dead at the age of 36. And one of her claims to fame were these viral videos where she would say that she was spilling the tea on celebrities.
You want more? I'll give you more. Hey, do you guys remember when The Rock collaborated with Ozempra on colonizing all of fucking Maui, and they stole the grassroots mutual aid, direct aid movement, and I'd had it. It's still my link tree for the Maui fires.
So she has hundreds and thousands of followers, and one of the things that she mentioned just recently was that she was having beef with J-Lo. So I believe J-Lo's handlers basically put a cease and desist and made her stop. And it essentially crimped her ability to make money by some of these social media posts. So a lot of people reacting. It's still unclear how she died. But one of the things that we were discussing this morning is the pressures on so-called influencers.
Yeah. So it's fair to say that the whole social influencer world is a new world. Okay. So this is a new thing. So it's not like you haven't met anyone yet that says, oh, I'm a social media influencer. I've been doing this for 15 years, right? So right now, most of the time, this is kind of a new thing. And when I mean by new, I would say within the last 5 years where somebody declares that they're an influencer, especially coming out of the pandemic. I just don't see how long it can last for you. You might be a social media influencer, and you might be able to parlay that into something else. I'm not seeing some good returns on them. I know of someone personally that it has not been that great for. And what I mean by not that great for is you are constantly having to do, what's next? Oh, that was great. That was funny. Okay, what's next? So that was great on Monday. You need to be great again on Tuesday. And that was great on Tuesday. Well, we need something else on Wednesday. Because if you don't give us something else, there's somebody else that's giving us something. And I just think the pressure to constantly perform. And I think it's different than you and I, Ursula. And I made this a point to really want to talk about this. I think the pressure on social media influencers to perform is different than it is the pressure for you and I. Because what we talk about news. We're responding to, you're giving, letting us know the news. We're giving our opinions on that news. We don't have a goal. Like, I don't wake up every day like, I need 1,000 more followers today than I had yesterday.
Yeah, so the influencers have basically the weight of all of it. Whereas you and I are employed by a company, it's this being self-employed and your every dime that comes in is based on the number of views that you have. And you can make a lot of money and you can make a lot of money all of a sudden, but it can go away just as quickly as it came.
No doubt.
And I think that we're seeing a lot of people, and again, we don't know what happened in this case. Marissa Roth is someone who was very open about the fact that she was dealing with colon cancer previously. And again, it's not clear how she died.
Right.
So there are a lot of questions still being asked about that. But I think we just want to talk about the idea of being an influencer and how people look at it and say, okay, that's so glamorous. I want to be that person. I want to be Charli D'Amelio. I want to be, you know, and even Charli D'Amelio talks about how, and she's the young woman who was on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, okay.
She's a great dancer. She got famous. She was, I think, one of the top influencers on TikTok. And she shot to fame. And then she talks about how it, you know, has had an impact on our mental health.
Sure.
and the pressures of having to always churn out more material.
Right. And also the social media influencers, I believe that 1 minute they're not making that much money. They're trying, they're grinding, they're doing everything they got to do to get there. And then all of a sudden the next day they're making a lot of money. To go from not making money to making a lot of money right away, I have seen that in the pro sports world. That combination is not a very good recipe. 1 minute you have $1,000 in your bank account, and then the next minute you might have $10 million, $5 million in your bank account. So you're still the same person, but that's the problem. You can't be the same person with $1,000 as you are with $5 million. You have to change and be way more responsible with $5 million than you have with $1,000. No different than a car. You can't put certain types of gases in these premium vehicles as you did before. It is a slippery slope, and it's one that we're going to see the returns on social media influencers. I just don't think we're going to see them lasting for 15 years.
Well, as a social what changed media influencer. For you, G? Because we've had this conversation a couple times, like brought up surveys that find half of Gen Z would like to be an influencer, that there are more kids who want to be an influencer now than they want to be doctors or lawyers. Mm-hmm. And so I remember asking you, like, I mean, do you think that's a viable career path? And you were like, yeah, it's a great idea.
I'll tell you.
What's changed?
Reality.
I got a personal story. And you know what I mean? Like, not me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I don't want, you know, I know of someone really struggling and it blindsided me. Like, I would have never thought that this person would struggle. And I was like, oh, man, things is good. Oh, that's good. Okay. And then, bam, and I'm saying to myself, you would change. Duh. I should have recognized it. I've seen it in the pro sports world, but for some reason, I was a fool to believe that it's different. No, it's the same thing. If it doesn't matter who you are or what profession you're doing, if you get a lot of money real fast without the foundation, there's problems.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is,
yes,
you're on a very public medium.
Uh-huh.
You are getting people. You know how comments are. They're generally not kind.
Oh,
people are ruthless online.
Ruthless. Yes, they
and
are.
It takes a very special person not to be bothered by those comments.
Mm-hmm. I just say bless your heart. Does that work? If you're listening right now, have I ever given you a bless your heart? If I have, that means I love you dearly. How about that? I don't give those out too much.
You don't. You're doing better.
Okay. Thank
you. You're doing better.
I'm glad you. If Ursula tells you you're doing better, that's actually the truth. Coming up next, scenarios. Jen Ursula.
Scenarios is brought to you by 1-800-DUI-AWAY.
All right, let's get to this good old scenario.
Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
I have wanted to connect with the parent of one of the kids in my son's third grade class. Why are you already laughing, Ursula?
Interesting.
His dad is hot. And I've been flirting with him at various events for several months now. It finally worked, and he asked me out. We had a great time, but he forgot his wallet, so I bought dinner.
Flag.
He didn't have it on his phone, but anyway, no problem. I thought it had some real potential for going somewhere. Then we went out again, just for coffee. And when it came time to pay, I took out my app to pay for mine, and he said, hey, thanks so much, so nice of you. I bought his coffee. Third time, we're on our way to dinner, and he got the idea of detouring to my house because my son was at a sleepover. I was excited, and we had an amazing time. We fell asleep, and later, he woke up and was going home. When he realized his car was missing, it turns out it was towed because he parked it in a restricted zone. So I took him to his car late at night, and guess what? He told me he left his wallet at the house. So I paid the over $300 to get his car back. He told me to pay me back, and now I haven't heard from him in a couple weeks. I kind of like this guy, but I don't think this is right. I think it's kind of weird. It's so strange that he's acting like this, and I don't know what to do next. Is this guy using me? Is he a freeloader? What should I do? Is there some way to test this? 888-973-5476, Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. Ursula, you have to bat first.
The questions that's burning in my head right now is he single? Am I assuming things here?
Let's assume he's single.
Okay, let's assume he's single. Okay, yeah. That's not an issue now, okay? Because that would really be
a fair question for this segment.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Single. So is he using you? Yes.
Now,
should there be red flags? Yes.
Ursula?
Yes.
You guys laughed.
The first time, maybe.
Yeah.
But now it's a pattern. He sounds irresponsible. Now his car is towed.
Was there a red flag on the first one? Was there enough of a red flag for you on the first one when he didn't bring his wallet?
What person forgets the wallet?
Well,
I have.
I'll still go with it.
That was a look, Ursula. Let's see. Is that a red flag? I don't know. You could just draw a bright red line and say, like, if you forget your wallet somewhere, I'm not paying for you. I forgot a wallet on one of my first dates with Gabby, and I just went. I said, I got to go to the bathroom. We're like 5 minutes away from my place in Capitol Hill. Ubered over, grabbed my wallet, came back. She didn't know until the end of the meal. Back in the day, you used to have to wash dishes. I don't know why you would take the detour back to your house with this guy, first of all. Everything is sketch about him. He has no money. He's going straight to your house. Like, this guy is no good. Well, like, he can't be hot enough for you to fund your relationship. Oh, wait, that's what men do.
She actually said it. She's the one who pursued. She said he is hot.
Hey.
So.
Isn't that kind of the name of the game, though? Like, if you're inviting?
I will say this. As you can see, Ursula, I just joined for the first time the club of putting my stuff on my phone. I have my ID, credit card. Right there on my phone.
Nice little pouch.
And the reason why I'm bringing that up, because you guys made the comment of who forgets their wallet. Let me raise my hand. I do. And it got to the point where I was leaving my wallet all the time. However, like my girl Liz just writes in and says, and this is very clear, if the first time he forgot his wallet and you paid for it, the man that you're looking for is the guy that either sees you the next day or calls you up the next day and says, hey, here's that money from last night. Thank you. You don't want the guy that just is like, oh, yeah, thanks for paying for that. Yeah, because I forgot my wallet. If they say I forgot my wallet, they make the I forgot my wallet right.
Yes. But in this case, forgot my wallet. Yeah. Ooh, forgot this, forgot that, forgot where I parked.
You notice after he made the detour to her house because her son had to sleep over, you notice he ain't calling no more.
Uh-huh.
Y'all caught that?
Yeah, the flag isn't just red, it's on fire.
All right, let's see what you're going to do, Nick.
Well, maybe with the first impressions, I'd give him a pass with the wallet. But after 2, 3, 4 times, I'd be raising the eyebrow, too. Now needing to go back home for the wallet again after taking him back to the car, already coming from a sleepover at your place with everything paid in full for him throughout this. Why do you still even like this guy? He's just taking you along for a trail that has no end. I think the old, I forgot my wallet, it's going to be getting old. I'm surprised to use it 2 times in a row.
Sativa in Graham asks, says that it sounds more like he is married and doesn't want anything to trace back to his wife by having this lady pay for everything.
Nah, they go to the same
school. Kick him to the curb.
They're at the same school.
Okay. So that means nothing.
I'm not saying it doesn't mean anything, but the chances are, I mean, that's rough. To be able to, like, hide your wife. and your kid go to that school, that's tough to do. That's really tough to do. But, you know, like, you know, there's a lot of folks texting in talking about D-Dub in Lakewood says alligator arms when it comes to the bill. Look, there are some folks that love to get away from paying the bill. I'm still with you, Ursula. I'm still with you on the old school. Now, even though it's a sweeping statement, but here you go, Ursula. I'm good for it. See if I can go 3 for 3. If a guy makes the gal pay for the meal on the first date, that's not the right guy for you. You like that, Ursula?
Even I will say that that's too much of a sweeping statement.
On the first date. If the guy makes the gal, like, hey.
On the first date, that probably won't be a second date for me.
So my sweeping statement is legit then.
But I think for some people, they would be okay with that.
All right. Well, let me see if I can go 3 for 3. Do you guys agree with that sweeping statement that I just made right there? Even though Ursula wants to agree with it, she just won't do it for the sake of sweeping statement. Agree to disagree next, Jen Ursula.